Amen. Thank you, ladies. That was great. Our scripture for this Sunday is from 1 John 4:9-12. On your pew Bible, it's page 1112, or it's on the walls. 1 John 4:9-12. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. May God give us understanding of this, his word. Amen.
A week ago last Friday, I gave the invocation at the 4th Annual Bowie Public Safety Appreciation Awards Breakfast at the Comfort Inn here in Bowie. Co-sponsored by the Bowie Chamber of Commerce and the City of Bowie, the annual awards breakfast honors firefighters and police officers in our community. I was invited to give the invocation by my next-door neighbor, Rich O'Brien, who serves on the Bowie Public Safety Committee. Rich invited me because he knew that I've been pastor of this church for over 30 years, and I've lived here in Bowie for over 30 years. Before giving the invocation that morning, I mentioned that our church had caught fire on January the 8th, 2000. I joked that the fire had nothing to do with my preaching. The mayor, who was sitting at the head table, said he wasn't so sure about that. I told them that Bowie firefighters have been the first to respond, and Prince George's police officers also had responded that morning. I expressed our gratitude, and I assured them that our church prays for firefighters and police officers and military personnel every Sunday. Then I offered a prayer, thanking God for the food, and thanking God for the service of public safety professionals, both career and volunteer, and asking God's blessing on them and their families. Well, after the breakfast, awards were presented to outstanding firefighters and police officers here in Bowie. As each honoree was asked to come to the front, the circumstances of the events that merited their recognition were described. In one case, a group of four firefighters entered a burning house here in Bowie and brought out an elderly man who'd been overcome by smoke. They performed CPR on him until the ambulance arrived to transport him to the hospital. In another case, three police officers were honored for pursuing and arresting two armed suspects who had been involved in a series of home robberies here in Bowie. A number of other awards were given for similarly heroic acts. In most cases, family members were present to witness the loved ones being honored. During the presentations, two little girls came up, spontaneously, I assumed, to take pictures of their dads as they were presented with the awards. In both circumstances, the little girls were invited to join their fathers for the official photos with the mayor and the police chief and the fire chiefs. It was a joy to share in the pride of the families and to witness the humility of the officers who were honored. It was obvious to me that for those public safety professionals, being a firefighter or being a police officer is far more than just a job. For them, it's a calling. Ask any one of them, and they'll probably tell you that being a firefighter or being a police officer is what they have always wanted to do. The dangers and the hardships that go with their professions are a small price to pay for the satisfactions they feel from helping their fellow citizens. Yet, tragically, sometimes firefighters and police officers make the ultimate sacrifice by giving their lives in the line of duty. We remember those officers as well. The nonprofit organization HEROES, H-E-R-O-E-S, provides support for the families of fallen firefighters and police officers. They're currently working with 48 families in Prince George's County alone and other families throughout the metropolitan area. I could not help but remember the words of Jesus when he said, "Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Well, police officers and firefighters have a calling. Most of them are not in it for the money. Not many people get rich fighting fires or catching bad guys. But it's what they feel they are called to do. And there are many professions like that. I've had teachers tell me that they felt called to teach. I've had people in the medical profession tell me that they felt called to be a nurse or a doctor or some other healing work. I began to feel called to the ministry as a teenager. I wasn't convinced at first that that's what God wanted me to do because I didn't think I had the right stuff to be a pastor. I wasn't like Pastor Starr, who felt called to the ministry as a child. She tells me that she would line up her dolls and her stuffed animals and she'd preach to them. Is that true? Okay. Well, it took me a while to figure out that's what God wanted me to do. But now I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I thank God that there are Christians who are in the military. I thank God that there are Christians who are in public service, in government service. I thank God that there are Christians in the business world and science and information technology and all kinds of professions. A lot of people are called to be homemakers and called to be parents. Now, not everyone can make a living pursuing their passion. Some people can make a living playing golf. I'm not one of them. Some people can make a living making music. I'm not one of them. Now, I love golf and I love music, but I'm not good enough at either one of them to make a living doing that. Now, those particular passions are passions, but they're not something for a livelihood for me. But there are things I can do. Now, the point is God calls all of us to do something to make a difference with our lives. In our scripture for this morning, John said, "God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him." And the way that we live through God's Son is simply to love each other. Our calling is to love one another. One of my favorite authors, Frederick Buechner, wrote, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. There are many ways to serve God. But at the heart of every calling is love. I continue to be inspired by the example of former President Jimmy Carter. After he left the White House, Jimmy Carter was determined to continue to make a difference with his life, to make a difference in the world. His goal was not to enrich himself, but to better the lives of others. And through the Carter Center, he helped advance democracy and human rights around the world. He helped eradicate diseases and advance economic opportunities for poor people around the world. Jimmy Carter and his wife became very involved with Habitat for Humanity, not just lending their names, but picking up hammers and nails and helping build houses with low-income people. In 2002, Jimmy Carter was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in recognition of his many good works. Jimmy Carter has answered God's calling on his life. He's found that place where his deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And underlying Jimmy Carter's legacy is his deep Christian faith. Raised as a Southern Baptist, he severed ties with the Southern Baptist Convention in 2000 over the issue of women in ministry. When Southern Baptists declared that women could not be pastors, Jimmy Carter affiliated with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. He also pursued racial reconciliation by reaching out to African American Baptists through a new organization that he co-founded called the New Baptist Covenant. In his hometown, Jimmy Carter continues to teach Sunday school every week that he's in town, serves as a deacon in his local Baptist church there in Plains, Georgia. Now, Jimmy Carter's been in the news recently after announcing he's been diagnosed with cancer. Speaking to the media at the Carter Center, he said, "I'm perfectly at ease with whatever comes." Now he is using the experience of his own illness to encourage others who are battling cancer or other serious diseases. He taught Sunday school at his church last Sunday, just days after his announcement. So many people showed up to hear him teach the lesson that he taught it a second time at the local high school after teaching it the first time at his church, and he posed for pictures with people after the Sunday school lesson. Of course, Jimmy Carter wants to keep on living and making a difference, but he, as he said, is perfectly at ease with whatever may come because of his deep Christian faith. Now, no one has ever seen God, but when we love, God is revealed in us. And we love because God first loved us. William Tyndale was the first person to translate the Bible from Greek to English. And he said, "I used to think that salvation was not for me, since I did not love God. But God does not love us because we first loved him. No, we love him because he first loved us." And that's where our love comes from. Our love comes from God. Ruth Dugan, our former church organist, sent me an email this past week about the shooting at Smith Mountain Lake. Ruth and her husband, Ken, used to live at Smith Mountain Lake. And she said that they knew one of the victims who was shot, Vicki Gardner, a Chamber of Commerce leader, was shot in the back after the gunman killed the news reporter and the cameraman. Somehow Mrs. Gardner survived. Surgeons removed a kidney. They removed part of her colon. She may require additional surgery, but it looks like eventually she's going to be okay. Ruth wrote to ask for our prayers for her friend, as well as for the families of those who were killed. Ruth's email reminded me how interconnected we are. Those of us here who knew Ruth are just one relationship removed from one of the shooting victims. And once again, we're asking, what could have been done to prevent such a tragedy? Like many other recent mass shootings, this appears to be just another lone gunman who'd become so socially isolated that he had no regard for human life. Somehow he'd become so alienated from his fellow human beings that his life was filled with hate. And I just wonder, could things have been different? His supervisors have described him as self-absorbed, narcissistic, insecure, combative. Apparently, along the way, people tried to help him. Some people tried to reach out to him. Some people tried to connect with him. But instead, he just became a solitary figure, alone, unloved. I just wonder, could things have been different if somebody had been able to love him? Norman Vincent Peale imagined what God might have said before he sent Jesus to earth. God might have said, "Son, I hate to see you go. I sure am going to miss you. I love you with all my heart. But I want you to go down to earth and tell those poor souls there how to live and point them to the way that will lead them back home." Oh, and one last thing. Give them all my love. Well, God sent Jesus to give us all his love. He sent Jesus to show us how to live and how to love each other. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Wow. Imagine that. Our Father, we know that love is not always an easy thing. We know that in many cases it's easier to hate, it's easier to dismiss, it's easier to write people off than to love them. But Jesus said love is the greatest thing that we can ever do. And Jesus calls us to love one another as he loves us. We know, O God, that in our own power and strength, we can't do that. But if you are in us, if your Spirit abides in us, if we look to Jesus as the one who will show us how to live, somehow we can find a way to love. Help us, our God, to remember that our calling, whatever our professions, whatever our role in life, our calling is to love each other. And help us in the day-to-day relationships of our lives to say the loving word, to do the loving thing, to love each other as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and it may be there's someone here today who'd want to unite with our church. We receive members upon your profession of faith in Christ. Follow him as a believer in baptism. Or if you've already made the commitment upon your transfer membership or statement of Christian experience, the hymn is an old gospel hymn, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." And we invite you to join together, page 614, as we sing. Thank you.
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us and abide among us all.